Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for making CKRZ a part of your day. I'm Al Sue, and with us today, we have Matt Jamieson, who is the president slash CEO of Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation. And joining us as well, we have Annette Verschuren, who is the NR Store Incorporated founder. And we're here today to talk to you about a project that's slated to take place over in Jarvis. And I like the idea of this project, you guys, because it's a green project. And you don't often hear these days anymore, except for stuff like the pipeline. And that's not very green energy efficient that are actually taking place here in Canada. And this one in particular is related to storing energy. And I want to find out more about that and how this energy is being used and how it's going to benefit the people of Six Nations. So, Matt, can you tell us a little bit about your position and what it is that you do with the Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation?
Yeah, sure, Al. So, as you know, I'm Matt, and I've been the president and CEO of the Development Corporation since its launch in 2015. And effectively, what the Development Corporation does is we are essentially the investment arm for the community. We invest in assets, primarily assets located outside of the community, lots of investments in the renewable energy space. This one here is sort of it's in sort of a field related to energy, of course, with storage. And you know, we ultimately focus our efforts as a development corporation on generating economic return for our community and building capacity for the future. And so we're excited by the prospect of this project and excited to be here to share what we can.
Awesome. So we're going to bring Annette into the conversation now. Annette, tell us a little bit about your position as a founder, and in particular for a company that is concentrated on green energy.
Yeah. Thank you, Al. Great to be here. Look, I started this company in 2012 after I, finished a career with Home Depot. And I really wanted to do something to do with energy, water, food. And I ended up looking at energy because it really needed, there has to be a lot of energy storage because there's so much surplus energy in our environments, and particularly in Ontario. But this company started in 2012. Our mission is to work with Indigenous peoples. We are working with the Inuit in the north on microgrids. We are working, obviously, with Matt and the Six Nations team to build this project. We have also the Tesla Powerwall that we distribute in residential and small commercial. Look, we're good at storing food, we're good at storing water, but we aren't so good at storing energy. And so this is a big opportunity for our country to take this surplus green energy particularly and hold it so that it can go on the grid when it's needed. And we're wasting wind, we're wasting solar, we're wasting hydro today. And we can find ways to store this. And so that's the business that we're in, and that's the project that Matt and I are working on.
Oh, I see. So give us a little bit of background on this, Matt. How did you guys get off of the ground starting this?
Well, for the Development Corporation, we have a strategic platform for growth, and we have a couple of pillars. And one of them is to invest in innovation and new technology. And the second one is to partner with the best companies so we can build capacity and grow as a society. And then wherever possible, we want to unlock verticals where we can participate vertically in an opportunity, not just invest, but perhaps construct. And so the United Energy Storage Project really was born through a discussion that started way back in 2018, I believe. And over the course of the last few years, it's evolved from a conceptual idea of harnessing energy when it's otherwise lost to store it when it's needed. And so through that modeling, we've arrived at a 50-50 partnership with Enerstore. And you know, we're very excited by the prospect of being a lead developer alongside Enerstore. Not just because we want to take the lead in the project, but also because we're taking the lead in a new industry, creating a new value proposition in the Ontario energy market that doesn't exist today. As Annette mentioned, you know, we have a supply and a demand issue in Ontario. Sometimes we have demand and we don't have the supply, and vice versa. And it's unfortunate that, you know, Six Nations, as you very well know, is a large investor in renewable energy projects. And some of those energy, that some of that energy that's generated gets curtailed because the system doesn't require it when it's being generated. Alternatively, there are times in the market when the system requires energy, but yet the wind's not blowing or the sun's not shining. And so what this tool, this battery solution will do, it will help provide grid stability and basically flatten the volatility in the marketplace to make better use of the assets we already have versus going out and constructing a whole new set of energy production facilities. So we're really excited by the prospect. And as I said, you know, it's a 50-50 partnership with Enerstore. As part of our key pillars, we want to partner with the best. And with someone like Annette, who has a tremendous history of success, she's the former CEO of Home Depot Canada and Asia, and her team at Enerstore, we believe we've got the right partner to make this happen.
And you know what? I'll tell you, Al, it really is a partnership from the very beginning. And I think we signed an NDA back in November of 2017. And Matt has been with us as an equal partner, making decisions with us, you know, driving the design and build and construction of this facility, and working with us side by side in all major decisions. And this, to me, is a true partnership, you know, instead of waiting till the end and finding, you know, equity owners. This is something that we truly believe in. It's our mission to work. I think energy and energy storage truly is a major infrastructure opportunity for all Indigenous peoples across the country. And private sector needs to work directly with the Indigenous partners to really drive the change. So it's very exciting. It's an exciting model that I hope will be one that it will be put into a big leadership position and others will follow.
So when, Annette, I'm not, you know, I'm really not a technical kind of guy, and I'm not sure exactly about the technology itself and how it started and how long it's been used, but is this something new, or is this a technology that's been around for a while?
Look, you know, when I started in 2012, this company, Al, it was just the beginning, right? But there's been battery technology. When I was at Home Depot, when I started, everything had to be plugged in. When I left, everything has a battery. And the real cool thing about batteries is that, you know, when your iPhone doesn't have energy, you go to charge it or you have a battery. What's really cool about, you know, this whole electricity, electrons need to match. So demand needs to equal supply. And if there's too much on the system, it's wasted, it's curtailed, or we have to sell it, quite frankly, in some cases, to the U.S. to get it off our system. So here we are putting a gigantic battery, 250 megawatts, 1,000 megawatt hour battery on the system to save that energy. And we're going to be saving ratepayers costs in doing this, as opposed to increasing ratepayers costs. And so that it's but there are other technologies. There are flywheel technologies. We operate one of those. There are compressed air technologies. But quite frankly, the one that's really economically viable today is the battery technology.
Wow, that's pretty cool when you think about it. That's really neat. So I understand that once it's completed, Matt, this is going to be the largest battery storage facility in North America. That I think that's probably, without even saying, it's going to put Six Nations on the map. What does participating in a project like this mean to the people of Six Nations?
Well, you know, first and foremost, as Annette mentioned, you know, the project is really one of a kind. It's the newest entrant in the market, and it will be the biggest in North America. And, you know, through the development cycle we've gone, we've generated a lot of attention and interest. And so now we've got the provincial government and the federal government at the door looking for opportunities to work with us. and most notably the Canada Infrastructure Bank has come forward recently with an MOU to talk to us about how we can finance the project. And so I think that a lot of that momentum is built on the number of wins that this project creates. We've touched on some of them, but I'll just run over them real quick, Al.
Okay.
The first win for this project is it can be built at no cost to the Ontario ratepayers. So we can finance this thing without having to burden the ratepayers. The second one is, as we've talked about, it's being co-developed by an Indigenous community. And I think if you look and you do a scan across the country of Canada, the time has come, and certainly there's precedents being set in almost every province where Indigenous communities are stepping up and taking an ownership role and a leadership role. So that would be the second win. The third win is it's going to create local employment, not just for our community members, but for also A6N and others in the region. It also, as we talked about, will generate energy savings. And last and foremost, I think one of the things that most attracted me to this proposition was the ability for the project to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Based on our modeling, we're projecting 4.1 million tons of CO2 being removed from the environment as a result of this project. So that's a tremendous win for the community as well. But, you know, based on the current modeling of the project, we expect our investment in the project to yield at least $1 million a year of called cash flow. And, of course, to create the jobs and those other impacts into the community through A6N, do some subcontracting work, and utilizing our skilled labor force. Once the project is built, we expect 15 full-time positions, and we're working right now with Enerstore to build training opportunities to ensure that our community members are at the front of the line for those 15 jobs, and that we can effectively not only develop, but also own, construct, and operate this asset, which I think is a game changer for us.
Wow. That's going to be pretty neat.
Wow. It is.
Well, yeah, like this stuff wows me. The technology today is just mind-boggling. It really is. So I know you guys have been working on this project for a while now, Matt. Can you tell us a little bit more about that relationship?
Yeah, so as we mentioned earlier, we started way back in 2017 with a non-disclosure to talk about what energy storage might look like for us. You know, over the course of the last several years, we've been lock in step with Enerstore. And you know what? They've been a great partner because their heart's in the right spot. And so we've been, collaborating for many, many years on what this could potentially look like. And it has evolved from a conceptual idea to what has now become a viable business model and a viable investment opportunity for us. And, you know, it gives me a lot of confidence to play the role that we have because we've been in this project every step of the way, whether it's the project due diligence, looking at how we're going to finance this, what the construction plan looks like, and as I mentioned, what the general operating model will be for the project in the future. So by playing a lead role in the development, we're very excited to have a seat, essentially a driver's seat in this project. And, you know, historically, the Development Corporation has made investments in wind and solar farms in the past. We've always typically been a limited partner, which means we had limited influence. This one is unique because we are a party to the development cycle of the whole project from start to finish. And I think it's going to not only create the largest energy storage facility in North America, it's also going to elevate the prominence of Six Nations as a partner and as a builder of solutions and opportunity for the future. And we're very, very excited about that and very proud to be partnered with Enerstore to take us to that level.
That is exciting. It really is when you think about it, but that people across North America are going to recognize the Six Nations of the Grand River for green energy such as this. That's incredible.
Yeah,
it's big. It's big, Al. And you know what? I just love working with Matt and his team. We make decisions. We are equal partners. And I do think it's the new world. I do think that, I love Indigenous. I'm close to Indigenous people. The Chief Terry Paul, a member to Nova Scotia, is one of my dear, dear friends. I've known him for 30 years and learned a lot from him and learn a lot, quite frankly, from Matt and all the Indigenous peoples. But look, I think you play the long game. And I think the long game has got to be played in this new world that is trying to be deal with social unrest, trying to deal with climate change, trying to deal with all the issues that are urgent. But I love the perspective that Six Nations has. I love how they are looking this in a very balanced way. And we can make money, and we can do it with purpose. And this is the new model. I believe the new model of the future.
So tell us a little bit more on that, about that that partnership. How do you feel about the way things have progressed so far?
It's been great. Look, you know, in any partnership, you know, we have challenges, but we have, you know, an agreement that we set out in the very beginning to say, look, this is how Oneida storage project will work. This is the, you know, the way in which we'll operate. But, you know, when you have a relationship of trust, it's easier to make decisions. And I'm honored to work with Matt. I'm honored to work with Six Nations of the Grand River. And it's amazing that you can come to agreement when you really genuinely listen. And that doesn't mean stop talking. It means really taking some of the stuff that you've learned along the way and really questioning it and looking forward. There are other ways to do this. Innovation is a key to the future of our country. And I think it's the future also of Six Nations. This is the way that Matt thinks. And so it's, you know, the tough decisions we have to make. Tough decisions. We have to make decisions on budgets and timing and you know, and this project isn't complete, but we've done a lot of work to get it to this point. And so it takes honesty, it takes transparency, and it takes trust. And that's what we have.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Annette. So why do we need energy storage in Ontario, Matt? And where exactly is this project going to take place?
Yeah, so as we talked about, I mean, the reason why we need the storage is really to help balance the grid. The supply and demand really are incongruent right now. And so what happens is, because the province and the system operator always wants to make sure that the lights can stay on, they end up building, you know, large assets, whether they be gas plants or other types of power generating stations, and they build them in case. They build them in case the demand spikes and they have to turn on, you know, an energy producer in order to meet that demand. When in fact there is opportunities during the day and night, really throughout the day, where there is surplus energy that can be harnessed. And effectively the solution will harness the energy at surplus times and feed it back into the grid when it's needed, without having to turn on some of these big system generators like natural gas plants. You know, natural gas plants serve a purpose, but they also have a tremendous runtime, start up, run, cycle time, shut down. And embedded in that cycle time is lost energy and money. And so what this solution does, it helps provide an instantaneous power solution to the grid, which helps balance the requirements at any given moment. And I think it's a valuable tool for the system operator. From a location standpoint, it's strategically located. We have selected a site behind the Jarvis Transformer Station. And you know, that location behind the Jarvis Transformer Station makes a lot of sense, because the land have already been designated for future energy development. But more importantly, I think they're located right beside the Nanticoke Transmission Corridor. And you may know, Al, several years ago, OPG and the Government of Ontario shut down the coal generating station in Nanticoke. And that leaves the transmission corridor there with a tremendous amount of capacity to carry power that's currently not being utilized. And while we are very proud that coal no longer operates from that facility, what we do see is an opportunity to utilize those transmission lines in a way that creates value. And what better way than to put a big battery solution right near Nanticoke so that we can utilize the capacity that's already there. So then in the future, we don't have to go out and build new transmission lines and chop down trees and then invade the environment. We've already got the assets. This is about using technology to maximize the value of the assets we already have.
Yeah, and you're right close to the distribution point too.
Right.
Yeah, and I'd also add to Matt's point, can you imagine if we could take that energy that is surplus and then if we have too much and then sell it to across the border, as opposed to having to for people to pay for it. So there's all kinds of exciting options with energy storage, and you know, as energy storage evolves, and there are big projects being built all over the world, a lot in Hawaii, a lot in Australia, in places like California, in the UK, etc. But it is a wonderful technology that will really help take all the renewable energy and maximize the performance of it. We need to do that. Our world needs it. The climate change is causing us severe problems, and we have to change that curve to go down. And so energy storage is a big part of that.
Yeah, it is. And you hear about it every day in the news, Annette, where people are really worried about how quickly things are going downhill and what exactly are we going to do? What can we do to change all of this in such a short period of time? And like, mind you, there's no easy answers. You have to start somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. So I know that I have like at least a dozen more questions that I could contribute to the conversation, Matt, but I know that there's not that much time in the day, but how do community members get involved in the conversation? Because they probably got questions too.
Yeah, perfectly so. I mean, part of the goal of us being on today, Al, is to introduce the project and start sharing the story. And, you know, as we go through this discussion with the community, we're launching a number of community sessions, and I encourage all of our community members to participate in those sessions. And you can find information on our website, the engagement website, which is snfuture.ca. On there, we've got all of the project material and information that anybody wants to see. And at the same time, you can participate in online sessions that we're having over the course of the next month or so. And so you can do that from the comfort of your own home, online, through Zoom. And if you visit, if you just go to your browser and type in Linktree at Oneida Energy Storage, all together, no spaces, there'll be a pop-up with a number of tools on there, which you can access all of the project information. If you don't want to do that, you can still access it through the snfuture.ca website. And through those portals, you can register for the virtual sessions that we have set up and learn more about this amazing project. And just for the listeners, the sessions are January 27th. There's one at 11 a.m. and one at 1 p.m. February the 3rd, there's one at 5 p.m. and then one again at 6:30 p.m. There's one on February 10th at 11 a.m. and then again 12:30 p.m. On the 17th, there's one at 1 p.m. and then again at 2:30 p.m. And on the 24th, there's one at 7 p.m. and again at 8:30 p.m. And you know, during those sessions, it'll be an ideal opportunity for community members to ask questions. We have a presentation we're going to give, but ultimately we'll have Jason Rio, who's also a partner of ours through Enerstore, on the call with us to answer technical questions. And we're here to help inform the community about what this project's all about and to answer questions, to give people peace of mind that this is the right thing to do.
So would it be possible, too, to maybe just, if I just had one question that you could answer easily, would I be able to email you?
Yes, absolutely. On the snfuture.com .ca website, at the very bottom, you'll see that there's an area where you can go in and email a question if you don't want to raise it publicly through the Zoom sessions. And so the whole campaign is there for people to offer their comments and feedback however they can. In fact, if people want to call, we'll find out a way to take phone calls and hear people's feedback, because the objective here is to be transparent in what this is all about and have people have a better understanding of what we're trying to achieve with this project.
So what were you about to say, Annette?
I was about to say that this project will, when you said, you know, what can we do to contribute to this? This project takes 40,000 cars off the road a year. That is what this project can do in terms of reducing greenhouse gases. So you know, our two companies can make a great contribution towards working towards that low carbon economy, which is what Canada and the world needs to do.
40,000.
Yep.
Wow, that's incredible. And that's really good to hear.
It's quite amazing, yeah. Alex. So just for clarification, so if any of the community members want to go to snfuture.com, click on active engagements, and there will be a full portal of material there for someone to review at their own leisure. And at the very bottom of that page is an area where you can go and provide a comment directly to our team. And it'll be captured as part of our final closing report.
Excellent. So before we tie things up, Matt and Annette, can I get an idea from the both of you when you feel this project will actually get off the ground? When will the first shovel go on the ground?
We're hoping, knock on wood, we're hoping the summer of 2021, this year. What's really neat about this project, it can be built quickly. It can be shovel ready. It only takes 12 to 18 to 24 months to build.
Wow.
And yeah, wow. So that's one of the unique, you'll see that in the documentation that Matt's going to be sending out. It is shovel ready, it's fast, and it can be built very efficiently.
That's incredible.
Yeah, we still have some hurdles to overcome, Al. We're waiting for some decisions from government on the contracting side of things, but we're confident. Yep. We're confident we're going to get there. And, you know, we rest on our laurels of this project. You know, based on our early modeling, this project will save, you know, approximately $700 million of ratepayer savings over the next 20 years. That's $700 million of hydro cost that will be lowered. And that will benefit our community households as well. So we're excited by the value that are created by the project, and we're looking forward to actually getting this thing to the point where we can put a shovel in the ground.
Wow, yep. Really good news.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to the both of you very much for joining us here at CKRZ and for giving the community the opportunity to know that we have a project like this to look forward to. And if you missed the introductions at the top of the show, everyone, we were talking with Matt Jamieson, who is the president and CEO with Six Nations of the Grand River Development Corporation. Thank you very much, Matt. And as well, thanks to Annette Verschuren, who is the founder of NR Store Incorporated. And thanks as well to you, Annette, very much for all of your input. And it was a really enjoyable conversation, and we look forward to hearing more from you this summer.
Great. Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Al.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks to the both of you, and thanks to all of you for joining us today here at CKRZ.